This is a shiur on Likutei Sichos, Chelek Yud Zayin, Book 17, the Sicha called Erev Pesach. It's in the Likutei Sichos, page 66 in the actual book. It's about Erev Pesach, especially relates to Erev Pesach in this not so regular circumstance of Erev Pesach, the call falls on Shabbos. Interesting thing, by the way, you guys, I'm saying the shiur, I guess it's English speakers. When we say Erev Pesach, what do we mean? The day before Pesach. It's interesting, if you hear Israelis speak about it, they say Erev Pesach usually means the night of Pesach. No. So let's just clarify. Here we're talking about Erev Pesach means the day before Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. The Seder is 14th of Nisan at night. In our case, it's Matzah Shabbos. So when is Erev Pesach? The day before the day preceding Pesach is on Shabbos. So the din is that the fast of the firstborns, which usually takes place on the 14th of Nisan, the day preceding Pesach, can't, because it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. You only fast on Yom Kippur, right? Nothing else. So it gets pushed aside and made earlier to the Thursday before. Not to Friday, because for the honor and respect of Shabbos, you don't make a fast, if you can avoid it, on Erev Shabbos. We know that Asar B'Teves could fall on Friday, and we do fast, which ends on Shabbos, but that's something we try not to do. So the question is, and so here the fast was brought forward to Thursday rather than to Friday. So the question is, if somebody didn't fast on Thursday, he forgot. And he's a firstborn. In that case, should he fast on Friday? Because perhaps, we just said you don't make a fast on Friday. Well, perhaps that's, if you have no choice, if you have a choice, you don't make it on Friday, you make it on Thursday. But here there's no longer any choice. You forgot about the Thursday one. Also, maybe that's just we don't create a public fast on Friday. But in our case, hey, he doesn't have a choice, he forgot. And also, he's an individual, so perhaps he could fast. So, what would happen? So, the question really boils down to how do we look at this moving of the date of the fast of the firstborns to Thursday? How are we supposed to look at the mechanism of what's taking place? On one hand, there's a way to look at it and say like this. The fact is that the Thursday fast is trying to take care of the fast that's supposed to be on Shabbos. It's a replacement fast. Really, the fast is supposed to be on Shabbos. Well, if it's just a replacement fast and the date still remains on Shabbos, but just we've taken another date as a makeup date, just made it earlier, if so, if you didn't fast on Thursday, the obligation of making that makeup date is still there, so you should fast on Friday. Right? Or there's another way of looking at the movement of the date to Thursday, and that is, even though that lechatchila, why did we move the fast to Thursday? Because the Thursday has to be a replacement for Shabbos. But once it's moved over, it now becomes the new date. It's not that we continue to see the date of the fast. It's supposed to be Shabbos. And, okay, we can't, so we're moving it to Thursday. But if you miss Thursday, you'll go to Friday. We now have reestablished the date, so to speak. It's a Thursday fast. If you miss the Thursday fast, you missed it. Okay, that's it. As we know, there's a similarity to this concept. There's two opinions with regards to one of the laws of sukkah. You know, sukkah needs to have schach, covering on the sukkah, that's kosher. If you had a board that's 4 tfachim wide, so you're not allowed to sleep under it. It's not a kosher piece of schach. 4 tfachim, just for reference, a tefach is approximately 8 centimeters, so 32 centimeters. If it was that big, then you're not allowed to sleep under it. It's not a good thing. What happens if you took that and you turned it on its side? Let's say it had a thickness of less than 24 centimeters, less than 3 tvachim. So less than 3 tvachim is kosher schach. But this is a piece of wood that has 4 tvachim wide, 2 tvachim thick. You now turned it on its thick side and it's sitting on top of your sukkah as a strip of wood of 2 tvachim, but it's, so there's a machlekes. Has it become non-kosher schach by its, in its, in its, in its, in its entirety, and even if you turn it on the other side and it's not taking up four tefachim, which would make it unkosher, or three tefachim, which make it unkosher, so it's okay. Or do we say it's just become in its entirety a non-kosher piece of schach, right? And therefore, it's just like you would have put up metal sticks, metal rods are not allowed to be used for schach. So in other words, it just became inadmissible to be used for schach, puzzle for schach. So there's two ways of looking at it. So it's a similar concept here. So according to, if we're going to go, going back to the two ways of looking at this fast, did the fast become a fast of Thursday? And if you missed it, you won't fast, because the time of fasting has passed. And the Rebbe adds in a footnote, Bichlal, you should know, well, maybe we should make up. Sometimes when you miss a fast, you have to do a makeup for missing the fast. Even after Pesach, for example, maybe not on Friday because Shabbos is coming up, but maybe you have to atone for that. Says the Rebbe that here there's another thing, and that is, some say, there's a machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch, whether in this kind of kvius, where Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, some say there's no fast whatsoever. The whole fast just goes away. Some say, no, make it on Thursday. So the Rama says, do it on Thursday. Follow that opinion, do it on Thursday. It says the Rebbe, if the fast moved to Thursday, and now you missed it, so you also wouldn't have to have a makeup on, because there's an opinion that the whole fast, anyway, in this kind of calendar doesn't happen. Okay, so how are we supposed to look at it? In other words, but if the fast is a payback or a deferment replacement for Shabbos, so the Thursday takes care of the Shabbos, but if you didn't do the Thursday, hey, maybe you should, then you have to do it on Friday if you remembered in time, right? Is it that the fast got reestablished for Thursday, and that's it? You missed Thursday, you missed it. Or is it a fast that's still a Shabbos fast, but just technically kind of we're pushing it to Thursday? But if you didn't do Thursday, I guess then you have to replace it with Friday. Two ways of looking at it. We're going to understand a little bit better as we continue. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shaka l'dvarei. L'chaim. Anti, but l'chaim nonetheless. So it would seem, says the Rebbe in paragraph 2, we could learn it from a similar thing, Tainus Esther, the fast of Esther. When Purim falls out on Sunday, when do we fast the fast of Esther? The day before Purim. You can't fast on Shabbos. If Purim's on Sunday, the fast should be on Shabbos. You can't fast on Shabbos. When do we bring it? We bring it to Thursday. What happens if on Thursday you had a bris and you attended the bris and you were eating? The Rama says you're allowed to eat at the bris, but you got to fast on Friday. You ate on Thursday because you went to a bris. Fast on Friday. So what do we understand from that? That when we talk about the deferral or the removal, the moving of the fast of Esther to Thursday, it hasn't become a fast on Thursday, and therefore if you missed it on Thursday, that's it, you missed it. No, it's making up for the Shabbos. You did it on Thursday, good. If for some reason you couldn't do it on Thursday because of a valid reason, well, it gets moved to Friday. So would come, perhaps we should say the same thing, also by the fast of the firstborns, right? That just like the fast of Esther. We move it to Thursday, but it still, in essence, remains a day that was supposed to be, the Shabbos is supposed to be the fast. We just moved it to Thursday, and that takes care of it, but if you didn't take care of it, it's still remaining, and therefore you got to take care of it on Friday. However, said the Rebbe, no, perhaps we can say it's not similar to that scenario of the fast of Esther. Why? Because there's a minig we don't actually fast. The minig is that instead of fasting for the firstborns, we actually go to participate in a siyum, in somebody who's finishing a tractate, a meseches of Gemara, and that becomes, when he finishes, it's a celebration, and he's allowed to bring people to partake in that celebration. It's a sudas mitzvah, it's a meal of mitzvah, and therefore once you ate from the meal of mitzvah, that's it, fast is over. So if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so when do we make the siyum? We make the siyum on Thursday. So one second. Making the siyum on Thursday, and that's it, we don't have to fast on Friday or on Shabbos. So we can make sense if we say that the fast got rescheduled to Thursday. It's now not a Shabbos fast. The whole fast moved over to Thursday. Oh, then we can say if you took care of going to a siyum on Thursday, so that's it. finished with the obligation of tainus, right? However, if you say that the fast of Thursday is really just a makeup, in other words, the fast really belongs to Shabbos, but the Thursday is taking care practically of the Shabbos obligation, so you shouldn't have to fast on Shabbos. So then, okay, just because you took care of Thursday, but hey, the fast didn't go away. The fast is still Shabbos, and you take care of it on Thursday, but you didn't take care of it on Thursday. Well, you couldn't fast on Thursday. You went to a seum. But the obligation shouldn't have just disappeared. It should have got... The Shabbos is still there. You couldn't fast on Thursday. Okay, so do it on Friday. Or make another seum on Friday. But we don't do that. The custom is simply make a seum on Thursday. So that seems to be conclusive then, that the fast is rescheduled. The custom is totally rescheduled to Thursday. You go to a seum on Thursday. You eat from a Seudas Mitzvah. Boop. That's it. Bloop. The fast is over. However, says the Rebbe, not so simple, not so quick. Hang on a second. We could say that that's not a proof. Why? Because certain achroinim, certain later commentaries in Halacha say that actually it's not that... Let's ask a little question here. The Rebbe doesn't say it in a way of question. But ask you a question which you know should pop into your mind. Hey, we're supposed to fast as a firstborn, right? In order to remember what? In order to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt and He killed the firstborns of the Egyptians and He saved the firstborn of the Bnei Israel. It's supposed to be a recognition of that, so we fast as a recognition of that. Be more aware of Hashem and His greatness and kindness. Question. Why are we doing this loophole, so to speak, a loophole of going to a seal? What are we trying to get out of the fast? You know any other fast that we try to make loopholes about? Why this fast do we try and get out of it? Say some achreinim, the Rebbe quotes here, that actually the fast, the fact that we go to a seum, it's not to get rid of the fast. It's to achieve what the fast is achieving in a different way. In other words, it's the whole purpose of the fast, as we said, is to paraphrase the Shulchan Aruch, is to make a zecher l'nes, a remembrance of the miracle shenitzlu, that the firstborns nitzulu memakas b'chayis, firstborns were saved from the smiting of the firstborns, finishing the seum and making a mitzvah meal. That itself, why are we doing it? Why all of a sudden, especially, you know, I grew up as b'chayir, and a little kid, I remember the only time I went to shul with my father at the 6:15 minyan in the morning was erev Pesach, because, as we're going to say later on in the Sikha, the minig is that your father, my father's not a Bechayr, but when I was born, so he had to start, the minig is, till your son is bar mitzvah, the father takes on that fast and has to go to a seum. And once the kid's old enough to be, you know, a little bit aware, for chinuch, to train him, you take him to the seum. He's to go 6:15. I was a big shot, you know. Everybody in the family could sleep, and I had to get up 6:15 in the morning. Went with my father and heard a seum. Oh, was that a remembrance, right? It had the same effect. Even today, we got to look for a seum. So you remember the fact that Hashem saved us, the firstborns, and in Egypt, He killed the firstborn Egyptians, and the firstborn of the Bnei Yisrael He saved. So that is the zecher. If so, so even if we say that the tainis is actually a Shabbos fast, but we're doing it on Thursday, the seum is not a problem. The seum is just like doing the fast. We did it. Did the fast in a different way. We did. That was the fast is a remembrance. We did the remembrance via the minig, the way it's become, to do a seum. Okay. However, one second. Also not so quick, because if that's the case, that the seum itself is in order to create a remembrance, and it's just like the fast, so why can't we make one on Shabbos Erev Pesach? Why do we have to move it to Friday, to Thursday? If we can achieve the same thing as the fast, we're doing a seum. Do the seum on Shabbos. Right? That would be much closer to the actual time of the miracle. The miracle took place Pesach Eve. So do it. Shabbos, make a seum. It's a zecher. Why do you have to be yotze with the seum you do on Thursday? The fact that you have to make a seum also on Thursday and you can't just make on Shabbos, okay, we can understand because the fast was moved to Thursday, right? There's an obligation to fast. So you could do a seum instead of fasting. But once you have the ability to do 2 days, 1 or 2 days later, at least there should have been a minig. At least there should have been a minig to make a siyum on Friday and on Shabbos, at least on Shabbos, right? Or on Shabbos itself, it's Erev Pesach. Why not make a siyum if the siyum does what a fast did? So from that we understand, for the fact that we don't see there's any minig to do another siyum or siyum on Shabbos, we understand that once Thursday is over, there's no longer any obligation to make any remembrance, to make any fast for the firstborn. It all was taken care of on Thursday. Either you fasted or you did a siyum. So the thing is, says the Rebbe in a square brackets, 1 second, but by Tainus Esther, we do have a halacha that if you didn't fast on Thursday, fast on Friday. He says you can't bring a proof about that, because these are all the rabbonans, these are rabbinic things, both Esther Tainus, the fast of Esther, and also the fast of the firstborns. So once it's a rabbinic thing, they made it specifically, the enactments were made topic specific. The Tainus Esther was made specifically for Purim, Tainus Purim was made specifically for Pesach, and therefore it doesn't have to be that each of them have to be identical. Especially in our case, there's a good difference, reason to distinguish between Tainus Esther and Tainus Bechiris. Why on Tainus Esther we say, once you took care of it on Thursday, it's over. Whereas Tainus Esther we're saying, even though you took care of it on Thursday, you were at a bris, it comes back to get you on Friday, because the fast really belongs to Shabbos, but you can't fast on Shabbos. So Thursday is when you start having an obligation. Either you fast then, or if not, the fast moves to Thursday, Friday, for you personally. But by Tainus Bechiris, we're not saying that. We're saying, once you did a siyum on Thursday, it's over. Why the difference? So the difference would be, because Tainus Esther, listen here carefully to the difference. Tainus Esther is by its very definition a fast that's made according to the time when the Jews fasted. When was the fast before Purim? This is not, by the way, the fast that Esther fasted for 3 days. That took place Pesach time, almost a full year before Purim. The fast that took place, Tainus Esther, we remember the fast that the Jews fasted when they went to battle. Here's interesting, just what the Rebbe tells us elsewhere, that actually Jews, when they go to do battle, not a lot of fast. They need all their koach. They need their strength. Who actually fasted? The only one who wasn't fighting for their life was Esther. She was in the palace. So she for sure fasted on the day that all the Jews had to fast, the day before Purim. That's why it's called Tainus Esther. But that's just parenthetical. That's what the Rebbe says in another Zichur, not here. But Al-Koponim, but the fast of the 13th of Adar is in the time when the actual event happened. Right? And whereas the fast, so when we move the fast, because we can't do it in its proper time, we move it to Thursday. So it's a real moving. It's a moving from its proper time. It was initially supposed to be in the time, in real time, when it happened. And now, because we can't fast on Shabbos, we move it. So it's moved to Thursday. The fast of the firstborn is never in its proper time. In other words, when did the miracle of the firstborns happen? The eve of Pesach. We can't fast. We're doing the Seder then. So the whole fast is brought to a different time, to the day before. Because you can't fast on Yom Tov. So that same concept of pushing it off also automatically means that you can't fast on Shabbos either. So, in other words, the whole concept of the firstborn fast is push off. Usually it's pushed off just to the day before, when Shabbos is the day before, so the push off doesn't start there. The push off goes and continues to Thursday. But that's it, lands on Thursday. Once it's there on Thursday, either you fast it on Thursday or not. It moved to Thursday. You don't have to move it to Friday. Whereas the fast of Esther always usually happens in its right time. The only time it gets moved is if Shabbos, if you can't fast because of Shabbos. Oh, now that's an unusual thing. That's an unnatural thing for the fast of Esther not to be done in its proper time. So it doesn't just move to Thursday and stay put. The Thursday is atoning, so to speak, is filling in for the Shabbos. But if you didn't do the Thursday, the fill-in wasn't done, so you do it on Friday. Whereas the fast of the firstborn is always a move. So it usually just moves one day to the day before Pesach. When day before Pesach is Shabbos, you can't fast, so it kind of just keeps moving and lands on the Thursday. But that's when the actual new date becomes. And if you didn't fast on Thursday and you did a Siyum on Thursday, that's it, it's over. You took care of it. Okay. Paragraph 4. And here's a very important thing. What is the difference? What's the difference? Trademark in the Rebbe's teachings is always there has to be a difference. A practical difference here. We're learning Torah. Torah is given as the wisdom of Hashem. There's a lot of nuances, a lot of details, a lot of back and forth. But what's the difference? Where do we see the difference in actuality? Here's the difference. There's going to be a difference in halacha. In what scenario? A child who became bar mitzvah exactly on the 14th of Nisan this year, let's say, Shabbos, that is the day prior to Pesach, Erev Pesach. Okay, so what's the minig? The custom is, as I mentioned before, that the father fasts instead of the child till he's 13. So if the child became 13 on Shabbos, the Thursday before, when they're fasting the fast of the firstborn, does the father have to fast? His son is two days short of being bar mitzvah. If you'll say, so it depends on how you look at the fast. If you say that the fast becomes rescheduled to Thursday, so on Thursday the kid is still a kid. It's the 12th of Nisan. The child is still a child. So the father has to fast. If, however, the obligation of the fast really still remains on Shabbos. However, the fact that we fast on Thursday is what? Is just a moving, it's kind of a fill-in for the Shabbos. Tashlumin is the word that I've used. Tashlumin, like a repayment, like a completion, a repayment for the Shabbos. It's a fill-in for the Shabbos. So then it should come out that the father doesn't have to fast on Thursday. The obligation comes on Shabbos. Shabbos, the son is bar mitzvah. In the time when the son is obligated, the son is ready a gadol, he's ready a major, he's a bar mitzvah. Father can't be mitzvah his son. The obligation on Shabbos of fast is a real obligation on the son. You're supposed to take care of it on Thursday. The father can't take care of the obligation for the son who's obligated. He can take care of the obligation of a katan, of a minor. But when this obligation comes, you understand what's happening? If it's still the Shabbos obligation, which you're just trying to fulfill 2 days earlier, hey. Whereas if we say that the actual fast gets rescheduled to Thursday the kid's a kid. So the father still has to fast. If so, comes out like this. There's a benefit for us to say that there's actually, it's a rescheduling of the fast to Thursday. Because if it's not, and if it's really the fast is Shabbos, but it just gets it just gets pushed to Thursday as a kind of a push, as a replacement, as a kind of a fill-in for Shabbos, so then means that year, this particular kid who turns 13 on Shabbos doesn't have any way to fulfill the minig, the custom of the firstborn fast. His father can't be mitzim because the obligation comes from the Shabbos and he's bar mitzvah, going to be bar mitzvah on Shabbos. He can't, if he fasts on Thursday, how is he going to help himself? He's still a minor. And there's a discussion in halacha whether a mitzvah that is done by a katan, by a minor, when he is still only an obligation of doing things as a training, as chinuch, whether that can help be a fulfillment of his obligation that he has later on when he becomes a major, when he becomes a gadol, when he becomes an adult, bar mitzvah. In this case, can you fast on Thursday? Because the kid is only fasting as education, as chinuch on Thursday. Can he, through that, make himself fulfill his obligation of the Shabbos? In other words, Shabbos he's obligated, is a bar mitzvah. It gets moved to Thursday, but Thursday is not bar mitzvah. How does that work? Interesting, the Rebbe in the footnote brings to a note of Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Laws of Benching, where he asks the following question. What happens if a kid is turning 13, he starts to eat, he eats his meal before he turns 13, at night he becomes bar mitzvah, he's full, he benched before it was nightfall, let's say. Now after night, 20 minutes later, he's still very satiated. He really has an obligation to say, Birchas HaMazon say benching min HaTorah? Because he's still full. Now, oh, but he said benching. When he said benching, he was a katan. He was a minor. He wasn't bar mitzvah yet. 20 minutes later, the stars came out, now he's a bar mitzvah. Is he fulfilling his obligation for bar mitzvah with the benching that he said when he was a katan, not bar mitzvah, when he still remains full? So he's satiated, he has obligation to Birchas HaMazon, and you say, well, you took care of that, you benched. No, but that benching was the benching of a minor, now he's an adult. Interesting question, right? Okay, so now it seems to be, so if we say that it gets rescheduled to Thursday, that would make sense. However, if not, if it's just a fill-in date, we get stuck here, the kid gets stuck in no man's land. However, says that it could be that even if we say that the actual the date is a fill-in date, right, and the real fast belongs to Shabbos, it's just that we fill it in on Thursday, still this child who becomes bar mitzvah on Erev Pesach, the Bechor, the first one who becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, he's still not in no man's land. And here's how we're going to explain it. Explanations like this. Let's go to Purim in general. When Purim falls out on Sunday, so when is the fast of Esther supposed to be? It becomes on Thursday, gets taken to Thursday. That is, we said, that for sure is just a fill-in date, because if you went to a bris on Thursday, you're going to have to fast Friday. It doesn't go away. It's not a reschedule to Thursday. And if you didn't do Thursday, that's it, over. No, it's a filler. You do it Thursday, you didn't do it Thursday, it's still there. It's hovering over, you have to do it Friday. But then there will be a question, if a child became 13 on the 13th of Adar, when Purim is on Sunday, so that means his birthday is Shabbos, 13th of Adar, how will he be able to do the obligation of Tainus Esther? Because as we say like this, definitely the fast obligation is Shabbos, we just do a filler in on Thursday, but how is he going to fast? If he fasts on Thursday, he's a kid. Comes Shabbos, we say, yep, you're an adult. Hey, you know that tomorrow's Purim, today there's a fast. Oh, I fasted Thursday. But Thursday you were a kid. Can you fulfill your obligation today as an adult by what you did as a kid? So, but if he fasts on Thursday, he's a kid. So he's in a conundrum. He doesn't have a way out, right? And the same question will be, basically on anything that we say, that we have to bring it earlier and we don't bring it later, like in this case the Megillah, if we're going to say that it's a payment, that it's a fill-in date, in other words, if you're bringing something earlier because of an obligation that comes later, if it's like a fill-in date but really the obligation still remains on the day that it was scheduled initially, so anytime you have this scenario, a child that became bar mitzvah right before that real date or on the day of the real date, how can he ever do his obligation? Because if he did it earlier, he was still underage, still wasn't bar mitzvah. For example, in like this year, what example could there be? For example, this year, the Rebbe was talking about a year when Purim of, again, we're talking here a year where Pesach is Matzah Shabbos. So also, Purim means that Purim is Friday in that kind of calendar. Purim is Friday. That means when are the Shushanites, when are the walled cities like Yerushalayim, when are they supposed to read the Megillah? They're supposed to read it on Shabbos. When do they read it? They read it day earlier, just like us, on Friday. For us, it's always 14th of Adar, which is Friday. For Jerusalem, it's always the 15th of Adar, which is Shabbos. They can't read on Shabbos, they bring it to Friday. Oh, what happens if a kid is bar mitzvah on Shabbos? What's going to happen? He heard the Megillah yesterday, but yesterday he was not bar mitzvah. So this becomes a very straightforward question, if so, which could happen, you know, and it's hearing the Megillah, you know how careful we are. The other things we talked about were customs of fasting and so on. Okay, you know, it may not bother you so much. Okay, fast. But here we're talking about Megillah. Everybody knows how careful we are to make sure to hear the Megillah properly, every word, right? So a kid who lives in Yerushalayim, it could very well be he's going to be bar mitzvah. Again, it's not just a firstborn kid, one out of... This is any kid. This really becomes a much more relevant question, you get it? Any kid that turns bar mitzvah on the 15th of Adar, in a year where Shabbos is the 15th of Adar, and he's a Jerusalemite, he's in Yerushalayim, he belongs to Yerushalayim, and he has to read the Megillah on Shabbos. We read it on Friday, but he turned bar mitzvah on Shabbos. How does he, what happens with his obligation? Is there no way for him to fulfill the obligation? He starts off his adult life, his bar mitzvah, with no way to fulfill properly the obligation of Megillah. Continues the Rebbe in paragraph 6. Here is a wonderful chiddush. The Rebbe says, we could say like this. Just like we must say that somebody who's a kotan, who's not bar mitzvah yet, there must be preparation time for him fulfilling his mitzvahs. In other words, how's he going to start putting on tefillin all of a sudden on the day he turns 13? First of all, he has to get tefillin. He has to learn how to put on tefillin. Right? The laws of Kriya Shema, you have to teach how to read. He has to know how to say Shema. He turns 13, you can't all of a sudden say, you have 613 mitzvahs. How is that possible to know everything and to have what you need and so on? You need lead time. You need preparation time. Right? So you need those things to be taken care of before the person is actually obligated. And let's say a kid who's all on his own, for example, he's going to have to worry about these things himself. If he wants to put on tefillin when he's 13, he's going to have to either get himself to a place where there's tefillin, get himself tefillin, learn how to put on tefillin, right? So the obligation doesn't just start when he's actually obligated when he's bar mitzvah. Because if he waits till then, he won't be able to fulfill his obligation. You want to know how to do it. You want to have the wherewithal to do it. So in other words, it turns out that as a katan, even while he's a katan, he has the obligation that shines on him from his obligation when he's going to turn 13. Anything that needs to be done to establish, to be able to provide that at 13 he can do the mitzvah that he's supposed to do when he's 13, all of that, so to speak, becomes an enabling to fulfill his obligation. And that all becomes roped in and grandfathered in, so to speak, to the actual obligation. Just like the concept of machshirei mitzvah, things that enable a mitzvah. You know that there is a law that I have quotes here in the footnote. There is an opinion, this is not the halacha, but there's an opinion about Shabbos that even making a knife, even things that you need in order to do the mitzvah, making a knife for a bris, you're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos. And if it's on the eighth day and the baby was born naturally, bris is the eighth day. If it's Shabbos, you do a bris on Shabbos. You're not allowed to create a wound, draw blood on Shabbos. But you're allowed. The Torah says eighth day. What happens if you don't have a knife? So the halacha is you can't make it. You have to prepare that before Shabbos. But what happens if you didn't have a knife? There is an opinion in the Gemara. Again, it's not the halacha that you can even do stuff like that. Why? Because it's all part. If you're allowed to make a bris on Shabbos, that's part of making a bris. In other words, we have the concept that don't just look at the now. How do you get to the now? If you didn't prepare the kid in advance to have tefillin, he's not going to know how to put on tefillin. So there's a learning curve that's included in the actual obligation, in the actual mitzvah, when the mitzvah becomes obligatory. It's even more highlighted, the Rebbe says, with a convert. You know, there's a paradox. To learn Torah, a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. I'm not allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah. But one second, if somebody's converting, what we have a mitzvah to teach him Torah. But he's not yet Jewish. Yeah, but he can't become Jewish unless he knows the Torah and accepts upon himself the mitzvahs. So it turns out that in order for him to go through the conversion, of course, kahalacha, you know, halacha conversion, he has to know the mitzvahs, accept the mitzvahs. He has to have learned the Torah to that level. So, one second, but he's not allowed to if he's not Jewish. So his learning Torah beforehand is part of his obligation that comes when he becomes Jewish. But in order to achieve that obligation, he needs to study beforehand in order to go through that. You understand what we're saying? There's a it's like reclaiming the sea. So it says it like this. Similarly, we got to say in our case, obviously, the child has an obligation to read the Megillah on the 14th, right? Look, on the 14th, the kid's going to be bar mitzvah. He has obligation to read the Megillah. He didn't turn bar mitzvah till the 15th. His obligation on the 14th is going to be a full obligation. Why? Because we can't say, it doesn't make any sense to say such a strange thing that a kid who has a birthday on the 15th of Adar and lives in Yerushalayim. So, what is this? All the years before that, he came to Shul, he heard the Megillah because he was doing it as training, as chinuch, right? And in this, the years after his bar mitzvah, he's going to have the obligation to do it, to hear the Megillah. The year of his bar mitzvah, all of a sudden we say, sorry, you can't, you're not obligated. Because what? What could you say? Well, his bar mitzvah is tomorrow. Today's Friday. The obligation of the Megillah is really tomorrow. Today, you have to listen to the Megillah as training. As training for what? Today on the 14th, listen to the Megillah as training. But next year, he's going to be reading the Megillah on the 15th. So what training for what? You understand the conundrum here? All the years before, he's read the Megillah on the 15th as training for reading the Megillah. Chinuch, to be, you know, we teach kids to train them. So when they become obligated, they'll know, you know, they'll go into the flow. That's on the 15th of Adar. All the years later, he's going to read on the 15th of Adar. He's going to be obligated as an adult. This year, 15th is Shabbos. So he's not obligated. Well, he is obligated, but he can't read it. Just 1 second. So you're going to read it. So read it on the 14th, of course. Well, 1 second. The 14th is going to be as chinuch, as training for what? As training because in a couple of years, another 9 years or whatever it is, it'll have the same Purim like this, and then as an adult, it'll know what to do. Says that it makes much more sense to say that the obligation that he has to read the Megillah on Friday is in order to satisfy the obligation that comes to him as a bar mitzvah on Shabbos, on the 15th. In other words, the reading of the Megillah, his Friday on the 14th of Adar, even though he's in Jerusalem and he belongs on the 15th of Adar, with Shabbos he can't, that reading on 14, when he's one day short of 13, on the 14th of Adar, it actually is a fulfillment of the obligation that comes to him the next day when he's bar mitzvah. Why? Because the Chachamim, when they instituted to read the Megillah, they initially, this was their intention. That, in other words, this takana, in order, this the only way for this boy to fulfill his obligation of Megillah is to read it on Friday. He can't read it on Shabbos. And his obligation comes on Shabbos. So the Friday's reading is a fulfillment of the obligation of Shabbos, because that's the only way to do it. So that's the chatchila, the whole way it works. Similarly here about the fast of the firstborn, for somebody who has a firstborn, who has turns bar mitzvah on Shabbos. Even if we say that the Thursday is a fill-in date for Shabbos, right? So if we said, if it's rescheduled to Thursday, okay, his birthday is Friday. Thursday is a reschedule. Say that. He's not yet bar mitzvah, no problem, father should fast. But we said, but if it's a fill-in, and really the obligation is still on the Shabbos, but Shabbos will be a bar mitzvah. So he has the obligation. But you want, got to take care of it on Thursday, but Thursday is not bar mitzvah. Same notion will take place here, that he's obligated to fast on the Thursday, because that Thursday is already so to speak, he'll fast on Thursday, it's going to be as if he's fulfilling his Shabbos obligation. Because the only way he can fulfill the Shabbos obligation, right, is by fasting in advance, even though he's only fully obligated on... Let me give you what the Rebbe says in a footnote here, what would come out, maybe it'll... What come out is like this. What happens if the kid is turning bar mitzvah on Shabbos, okay, and he's in Yerushalayim, 15th of Adar, can he read the Megillah on Friday and have somebody else who's obligated to Megillah, an adult, listen to him and fulfill his obligation? Says the Rebbe in the footnote, since when the Megillah was, it's a Rabbanon thing, since it was the enactment, it was Kabbalah, whatever, through the prophets, since the enactment of Megillah was made in such a way that there'll be different dates for reading, there'll be the 15th, when it's the 15th, is on Shabbos, you read on the 14th, which just means that perhaps we could say that in this scenario, this person reading on the 14th, even though his bar mitzvah is on the 15th, his reading is already like it's on the 15th. It's taking care of the obligation of the 15th, therefore it's a full-blown reading, and even somebody who's bar mitzvah can be yetzer. And by the way, if that's the case, that the person, going back to the fast, if we're saying that even if we look at the fast as just being a fill-in date, but the actual obligation of fast remains on Shabbos, but the kid fasting on Thursday is already is fulfilling the obligation that he will have on Shabbos. So that's the only way to fulfill it. And it's like a necessary preparation for the... It's like part of the Shabbos already in his... Just like he'd be obligated on Shabbos. On Thursday, the only way to fulfill that Shabbos obligation, therefore it's already as if he's obligated, as he's doing it as an adult. If so, the father won't have to fast on Thursday. It's already gone over to the son. All the best.